We hear a lot today about blind faith. There are accusations that Christians have this blind faith, which of course is foolish because there is actually a preponderance of evidence for Christian faith, and it's not a blind faith but an informed faith. So what we're looking for is not blind faith, but the faith of the blind. And I would say that, and it's a bold statement, but I think it's true, that the entirety of Christian discipleship can be summed up in the story of Bartimaeus. Because Jesus presents it to us, first of all, at a pivotal point in his ministry. He's on his way from Jericho to go to Jerusalem. And we know that in Jerusalem, Jesus will be killed, rise from the dead. And so the things that he is doing on his way to Jerusalem are showing us in those final moments what we are to do as his disciples. He's given us the entirety almost of his message. He's ready for us to begin to follow him. And so you have the blind man on the side of the road, and Jesus is coming along, coming near to him. And he doesn't actually see Christ, obviously, because he's blind. But he hears the testimony of others that Jesus is on the way. And likewise, we are trusting that testimony. We don't see Jesus walking among us, but what we do have are the gospel writers, the testimony of 2,000 years of saints, and we have the belief in the Eucharist given to us by Christ himself, which we do not see him, and yet we believe, as Thomas Aquinas said. We go beyond our senses. We actually believe in a way that is deeper than actually sensing. And so when Christ says, "Blessed is he who does not see and yet believes," he's not talking about blind faith, but he is talking about relying upon something beyond our senses, beyond what we deal with the day-to-day with. He's talking about the faith of the blind, the faith of a man like Bartimaeus. And when Bartimaeus hears that Christ is nearby, he begins to call out loudly to ask Christ to call him. And this makes those around him very uncomfortable for whatever reason. Possibly because their own faith was so weak that they were just sort of bystanders at a distance. And here was a man who couldn't even see Christ like they could, and yet had a deeper faith and was calling out for him. And we've reached that a lot in our lives. You know, freedom of religion has come to mean freedom of worship. And so the secular world is very comfortable with our freedom of religion so long as we practice it here within these four walls. The moment we begin to witness to others outside of this church, they become very uncomfortable because they see it as us putting somehow a limit on their freedom, on the things that bring pleasure. And yet we all know, both in our own lives and from just seeing the world around us, that true slavery is slavery to sin. A limitation of freedom that's almost impossible to break out of. And so when we proclaim our message to others, we do so in love. Love for the others who are receiving that message. But to them, it's something they don't want to hear, just as those around Bartimaeus were asking him to be silent. And so we must be willing to witness to the world. And as he overcomes the calls for silence, he's suddenly able to hear the call of Christ. And again, he doesn't hear it from Christ directly. He's probably at too far of a distance. But he hears it from those around him who say, "Take courage. Take courage and go to Jesus. He is calling you." And so when we get the call of Christ, we're called to vocation. You know, the word vocation comes from the Latin word vocare, meaning to call. And we don't often have a vision of Jesus telling us what that is. But what we have is the testimony of those around us in the church. When I decided to become a priest, to go into the seminary, that was only the first step. I had to consult with the church over the years I was in the seminary. It was the church that told me what Jesus was calling me to, not me. And it was only Christ through others. Likewise, when a man or a woman decides to marry another, he or she doesn't just tell the person that you're the one I'm going to marry. Rather, they consult with each other, and then they go to the church. And the church blesses that union as their vocation. So it is always through the church that we receive that vocation, that we hear the calling of Christ. And then when he hears Christ, he throws off his cloak and springs up. Jose Maria Escrivá, in his commentary on this scripture, talks about when he went to the battlefield once as a chaplain. The battle was over, and he was there to attend to those who were dead and dying during the Spanish Civil War. And as he looked around, he found all of these cloaks lying about. And in the cloaks, there were things like family pictures, money, pocket watches, everything. And yet they'd been thrown down, and not by those who lost the battle, but by those who were the victors. In other words, in the heat of the battle, when it became a life and death struggle, the men were willing to divest themselves of anything that would get in the way of achieving victory. We have to do that exact same thing. When Christ calls us to a way of life, to the way of life that will ultimately lead to salvation, we have to divest ourselves of anything that gets in the way, to throw down the cloak of worldliness, of selfishness, of laziness. Whatever it is in our life that's holding us back from Christ, we have to immediately divest ourselves and run to our Lord. And then it says that after the healing that was through his faith, he followed Jesus along the way. And of course, we see this very often, that when people have encountered Christ in faith, not like the rich young man who did it with doubt, but to have true faith in Christ, they never are the same. Just as the wise men, after they encountered Christ, the gospel says they went back to their land by a different way, we never walk the same way after we've encountered Christ. And so it is with Bartimaeus. He became that disciple, having thrown down his cloak, having had the faith, having heard from the church. There was only one choice left. After his healing, he followed our Lord. And so how do we respond in a way like Bartimaeus? Say there's a few ways. First of all, to recognize that Jesus is near. And nearer than he ever was to Bartimaeus. The reason Christ ascended to the Father was to give us a nearness to him that the disciples could never experience until after he had died and rose from the dead and ascended to the Father. He sent his Holy Spirit who dwells within us. But even beyond that, he gives us the Eucharist. Every sacrament has a particular sign. Baptism has water because it washes away the sins. But the Eucharist is food, literally bread, because we take it within ourselves not to walk with Jesus on the journey, but to walk with Jesus within us. That he actually becomes the nourishment for the journey, not just a companion, but a very part of ourselves. And so if we recognize the symbol and that reality, which is Jesus, that it is, then we suddenly realize that we have something far nearer than Bartimaeus had. The first time that Bartimaeus would have received communion after the death and resurrection of Christ, he was nearer to Christ in that moment than he was when he walked with him along the road outside of Jericho. And we all have that opportunity. But of course, it doesn't stop there. If all we do is receive the food for the journey, but then don't journey with that food, then we're only doing half the battle. The other half is to continue that relationship with Christ throughout the week, to have that time for prayer each day when we converse with the Lord that we have within us. And then to resist the world's noise, because the world is always going to call for us to be quiet about our faith. And when we have Christ, if we believe we have him within us and we're relating to him each day through prayer, it's almost impossible to hold it into ourselves. And so, you don't have to go into the office to be a Bible thumper, but to be somebody who just through their life exudes the joy and the peace of somebody who is a Christian. So that when somebody asks you, why is it that you're so happy or why is it that you're so at calm, you can say, because I believe in Jesus Christ, I'm a Catholic. And that will not surprise anybody because they'll begin to encounter what joy and what peace comes from having that relationship with our Lord. I had a favorite professor in Rome who was a Dominican. And he used to wear his habit quite a bit. He's in the habit of it. Sorry. But he would always wear his habit, but oftentimes too, he's from California, he would go down to the beach. And he would go down with friends, and they would have other friends, and some people wouldn't know that he was a priest, because they would just all be swimming or hanging out, playing beach volleyball or whatever. But then later on, if they would be eating, they might ask him, "What do you do for a living?" And he would say, "I'm a Dominican, I'm a Catholic priest." And he told me, "You know, it wasn't that they knew that I was a priest, but when I told them I was a priest, they were never surprised. I never did anything that would lead them to think that I might not be a priest, that I might do something else. So that nobody ever acted shocked. They're like, oh, that makes sense. That's why you were, you know, behaving the way you were. That's why you were such an example of Christ, because you're a priest." But it should be that way with every Christian, that people, it makes sense to people. Oh, that person is a Christian. That's why I'm attracted to them. And then also to follow Christ, to throw everything off. Bartimaeus gives us that perfect example. Anything that gets in the way of Christ. And then make his way your way. You know, there's a great movie about a singing priest called Going My Way with Bing Crosby. And in that movie, he talks about, to a young couple who's struggling in their vocation, he talks about how he was a great songwriter and really an up-and-coming songwriter who could have written the nation's songs. And he said, "I had a choice to make, whether to write the hit songs of the nation or go my way." And his way was Christ's way, because we were all created to do the things that Christ created us to do. So we become most ourselves, not when we're sort of striking out in whatever we want to do, but when we do the thing we're created for. We have that radical freedom when we do what Christ is asking us to do. That's when we become most who we are. So if we do that, if we follow those ways of Bartimaeus, then we become a true disciple. For Bartimaeus shows us that it is only by having the faith of the blind that we truly begin to see.